Okay, you're going to the store, right? You want to get in and out of the store as fast as you can. Got a couple things to pick up. You got somewhere to be. You want to get in and out as fast as you can. You're cruising through the parking lot. You see a spot up front and you think, yes. You go to pull into the spot and then you see this sign. Okay, first of all, if they're such good employees, why are they not at work? Okay. Or you see some other sign like that. But we like to recognize people who do a good job, right? We like to recognize employees who are exceptional, the Employee of the Month award, other awards that we give. But did you know that there is a Shepherd of the Year award? It's a real thing. In this country, other countries, there's a Shepherd of the Year award. And what are the criteria for the Shepherd of the Year award? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to share with you six criteria to become the Shepherd of the Year from the National Sheep Association in Scotland. All right? Six criteria. One is prime lamb selection. You've got to be able to look at the sheep and know what's going on with these sheep. If they're healthy or not, if they're struggling, if they're weak, you've got to be able to select the sheep that are healthy. You have to be able to shear sheep. So there's a part of this that you have to show your ability to shear the sheep. Examples of correct foot care techniques. You have to be able to care for their feet. Handling, vaccination, dosing of those vaccinations. This is one of the criteria. You have to know how much medication, where to inject them, etc. You have to answer questions on flock management and health issues. There is a sheepdog handling criteria that you have to meet. Gathering, moving, pinning techniques. And here's the thing, you have to bring your own sheepdog. You can't use somebody else's, a dog that you have trained. And then there's ATV handling. How good are you with a four-wheeler? As sheep, that's a lot of criteria to meet. But as sheep, I would like to nominate my shepherd. Not just Shepherd of the Year, but Shepherd of all time. The greatest shepherd that ever was. He's not the Shepherd of the Year in Scotland. He's the Shepherd of the universe, really, of all mankind. And you talk about knowing how to bind the wounds of his sheep. You talk about knowing how to provide for his sheep, how to handle his sheep, to give us what we need when we need it. Our shepherd knows best. And my shepherd is, of course, Jesus Christ. And he can be your shepherd, too. I'm considered part of his flock. And if you know him, you're considered part of his flock, because of what he's done for us in giving his life for us and bringing us into his flock. Let me tell you what we both know. You may not realize it, but in your heart you know it. We all know we need guidance, right? I mean, how are we going to make it through this life? How are we going to make it through this crazy, messed up, stress-filled, chaotic life? We need guidance. So let me tell you, because I am one of his sheep, I know that I am saved and secure in him. My life is full of stress. My life is full of ups and downs, unknowns, question mark. But I know at the end of the day, I'm saved and secure in him. So I want to ask you a question. What's going on in your life right now? What is it that keeps you up at night? What is it that has filled your life with worry or stress, uncertainty? What is it that's just consuming your time? Maybe you're not prone to stress, but your time is consumed with one thing or so many things. What is it that's going on in your life right now? You need guidance. I need guidance. We start a brand new series today through the 23rd Psalm. And the title of our series is The Good Shepherd. Today's message, we're going to look at our shepherd, the Savior. We're going to walk through this series together in the 23rd Psalm. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn to the 23rd Psalm. in your Bibles. Everybody knows the 23rd Psalm. You've heard it, you've seen it, it's hanging on the wall in some of your houses maybe. You've heard it read, maybe at weddings. You've certainly heard it read at funerals, more than likely. People know it. You may know it by heart. We've all heard the 23rd Psalm, or at least are familiar with it, the words of the 23rd Psalm. But that's the danger in this series, okay? Hear me. That is the danger in this series. We are so familiar with the 23rd Psalm, we have a tendency to just read through it or hear it and not really think about the words of the 23rd Psalm. So here's a challenge for myself as I'm studying this, and a challenge that I'm giving to you as we begin this series today. Let's all together approach this psalm like it's the first time we've ever heard it or seen it. Let's approach it like it's the first time we've seen or studied the 23rd Psalm. Now, that's a challenge because, again, we're so familiar with it. But if we can approach this like it's the first time we've ever seen it or heard it, then it will be fresh for us, and it'll take on new meaning for us, and we'll be able to apply it to our lives in a way that maybe we never have. David wrote the 23rd Psalm. David was an imperfect guy, to be certain, but we know that he was also a man after God's own heart. Now, if you were going to hire David and he gave you his resume, you would see on his resume, king. He was one of the greatest kings of all time. You would see that he was a warrior, one of the greatest warriors of all time. You would also see musician on his resume. He was an incredible musician. He wrote and sang songs, played instruments, an incredible musician. But you would also see on his resume, shepherd, for years and years. Before he was most of those things I just listed, he took care of his father Jesse's sheep. He was a shepherd. And so when we look at this psalm, as a shepherd, David spent countless hours looking at sheep. Now in the 23rd Psalm, David is a sheep looking at his shepherd, and he wants to tell us about his shepherd, who is also our shepherd if we know him personally. So as we go forward, we need to remember that the 23rd Psalm is from a sheep, the perspective of a sheep looking at his shepherd. He knew what it was like to look after sheep. Now he's telling us what it's like to be a sheep. He's an old guy when he writes this psalm. He had experienced pain, victory, suffering, discouragement, all of these things in his life. He went through times of fear in his life. He knows what it's like to get and lose your dream job. He knows what it's like to chase your dream job, to wait to get your dream job. David knows what it's like to have someone you love, who you think loves you, look at you and tell you that they love you, only to abandon you later. He knows what that's like. David knows what it's like to bury a child. David knows what it's like to bury a loved one. David has had a life filled with ups and downs, victories and defeats, triumphs and tragedy. And he is telling us, let me tell you what it's like to be cared for by the greatest shepherd that ever was. Let me tell you about my shepherd. And as David looks over his life, the faithfulness of his God, we're going to see that the 23rd Psalm is a fresh word for our modern world. It speaks directly, the 23rd Psalm speaks directly to the conflict, cares, and confusion of contemporary life. It shows us that through our shepherd, we can face life with calmness, courage, and confidence. David has learned this, and he is sharing with us how to face life this way. He's saying, David is, the way that I tried to care for my sheep, this is the way that my shepherd cares for me, except better, more perfect than I was able to care for my sheep. And he says, so let me tell you about this shepherd, my shepherd. And we're going to do that through 7 weeks of this series. You guessed it, we are going to go slowly through Psalm 23, word by word. We're going to dissect this familiar passage of Scripture. And my hope is that by the time we are done, it is fresh for you. What we're going to discover through this series, what I have discovered in studying this, and what I hope you will discover through this series, we all together, is that nothing compares to a Psalm 23 life. In our shepherd, we have absolutely everything that we need. Maybe not everything we want, not on our wish list, but we have all, everything that we need. We have everything and need nothing if we find satisfaction in the life that our shepherd provides. We're constantly being seduced by this world, right? You're missing something. You're missing out on something. If you only had this one thing, your life would be fulfilled. What David is telling us here is that through this psalm and the life that he's experienced, he's had everything and he's had nothing in life, and he's telling us that all the satisfaction, all the contentment you need, you find in the Psalm 23 life. It's the single greatest life for your family, your marriage, your hopes, and your dreams. Nothing compares to the Psalm 23 life. So this first message is where it all starts. If we don't get this first message, then we won't get the rest of the series, okay? We have to hunker down here. We have to pay attention and dig in, because if we don't get these first few words, the rest of the psalm will not make sense to us. It all starts with 5 simple yet profound words. The Lord is my shepherd. 5 small words. The Lord is my shepherd, that pack an incredibly powerful, significant punch. Those 5 words are God's words through David. They can change your world, and they can change our world. 5 words, the Lord is my shepherd. So let's jump in. First, the shepherd is the Lord. The shepherd is the Lord. Look at the first part of verse 1 of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. We need to slow down here because we have heard this so much. Just look at those first 2 words, the Lord. The self-existent, self-sufficient, all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal, no error, no equal, holy, majestic, perfect creator, indescribable, incredible God of the universe. That's who David's talking about. The Lord. This is God. This is who the shepherd is. He is Lord. That word Lord is the Hebrew word Yahweh. It's the most common word that God used to describe himself. 6,832 times we see God describe himself in this way as Yahweh, the Lord, the God, the creator, sustainer of the universe. It's a name that was so revered, Jews would not speak it. And if they wrote it, they would change pens and throw away the ink after they wrote his name and start over with a fresh batch. They so revered God, that's how they approached this name. This is who David is talking about, the holy, majestic, all-powerful God of the universe, Yahweh, the Lord. That's who we are talking about here. It's the same God that in Exodus 3, from a burning bush, told Moses, "This is who I am." It is the same God that we see throughout Scripture. It is the God that Jehovah, the Lord, that David is saying, "This is my shepherd, the Lord, the God of the universe." And it's amazing how Jesus absolutely ties into Psalm 23:1. Look at this. Jesus said in John 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." Compare that to Psalm 23:1. "The Lord is my shepherd." And what we learn from this is that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament. The Son and Father are one. Jesus is the good shepherd. He ties directly into Psalm 23:1. And it's important to understand this as we go into the series. Your true shepherd is not a pastor. I operate in that role to a certain degree. All of our pastors do, but I am not, nor any other pastor. We are not your true shepherd. Your true shepherd is not a small group leader that seems to have all the answers and is always available to you. That's great, but they are not your true shepherd. Your true shepherd is not a close friend who always has time for you and always gives good advice. Your true shepherd is not a family member. It's not a friend. It's not an acquaintance. It's not a boss. Your true shepherd, your only true shepherd, is Jehovah, God, who is also Jesus Christ, the mystery of the Trinity. The Son and Father are one. Your true shepherd is Jesus Christ alone. No one else is going to measure up. If you try to put somebody else in the position of shepherd in your life, and yes, we should follow leadership and we should love the people around us, we should seek advice, we should be mentored, we should mentor others, but if you're trying to put that person in the position that belongs to Jehovah in your life, then they will eventually let you down. But Jesus never will. That's who our shepherd is. In this life, somebody can look at you and tell you they love you and never leave you, that they will always be with you, and before you know it, they've thrown you out like the trash. Hopefully that won't happen, but some of you have experienced that in your life. People can betray you. People will let you down. Some more and worse than others. We've all experienced rejection in our lives. We've all experienced disappointment in our lives. That is the way that sinful people are, but not my Lord the Shepherd. He will never betray you. He will never let you down. He's always been with me. Even when I was running from him, he has always been with me. He's always been faithful, caring for me, guarding me, guiding me, and thankfully protecting me, sometimes from myself. He's always been faithful. That's who the shepherd is. He is the Lord. He's God. Ken Robinson, in his book, The Element, tells a story of an elementary school teacher with a bunch of six-year-olds. And she had this one girl who always sat in the back of the class, and she wouldn't talk to anybody. She wouldn't do anything, but she loved to draw. So they would do drawing time. And it came time in the day for drawing time, and this little girl, this little six-year-old girl who didn't care about anything else that the class did, had 20 minutes to draw, and the teacher talked about how she would be over her desk with a pen, head down, drawing straight for 20 minutes. The teacher was amazed by this, so she comes up to the little girl, and she says, the teacher asks the little girl, "What are you drawing?" And she says, "I'm drawing a picture of God." Well, the teacher says, "That's impossible. Nobody knows what God looks like." And without skipping a beat, the little girl says, "Well, they're about to." Here's what we see in Psalm 23:1. Pay attention to this. David is drawing us a picture of what God looks like. He's drawing us a picture of our Lord, the shepherd. And if we pay attention and we dig in, and we stay focused through this entire journey, we will have a picture in our minds and in our hearts, truly, of who our shepherd is. The shepherd is the Lord. The next thing we need to realize is the Lord is the shepherd. Pastor, didn't you just say that? No. Not exactly. The shepherd is the Lord, but the Lord is also the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd is the Lord, but think about it. The Lord I just described, that David refers to, Jehovah, is also our shepherd. And I can't stress enough how dangerous it is that we are familiar with this passage. We'll skip this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We'll just read right through it, say it, repeat it. But think about those first five words. The Lord, the all-powerful, self-sufficient, self-existent, no error, no equal, majestic, holy, righteous, perfect, creator, sustainer, God of the universe, who is holy No one compares. He is holy. He is separate. Above all, over all, that God is also my shepherd. Close, personal, caring, loving, intimate, provider, protector, the Lord, holy, majestic Lord is also my caring shepherd. Why in the world would the God of the universe, he's got enough to do, why in the world would the God of the universe care enough to put up with a stubborn sheep like me, like us? But yet, it's right there, his own words through David, the Lord is our shepherd. God is metaphorically saying this. He's saying, listen, I am holy and I am perfect. There is no equal. I created all, I control all, but here's metaphorically how I want to describe my relationship to you. You look at how a shepherd cares for the sheep, that's me and you, you and me. That's how I provide and care for you. He's giving us a picture of the relationship that he desires with us. Through David, God is shepherd is so rich in Scripture. 698 times it talks about shepherds, sheep, or lambs in the Bible. David, many times in the book of Psalms, refers to God as shepherd. Psalm 80, verse 1. Listen, shepherd of Israel, who leads Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim. Again, that picture of God on his throne, yet a caring shepherd. Psalm 95, verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care. The shepherd that David talked about in the Old Testament, the prophets in the Old Testament also prophesied that the shepherd is also the coming Messiah. Isaiah 40, verse 11, he protects his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them in the fold of his garment. He gently leads those that are nursing. Ezekiel prophesied that the shepherd is the coming Messiah. In Ezekiel 34, 23, I will establish over them one shepherd, my servant David, a descendant of David. And he will shepherd them. He will tend them himself and will be their shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus fulfilled all of these prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming shepherd, the coming Messiah. Jesus is the shepherd three different times. Three different ways in the New Testament. Jesus is self-described as the shepherd. In John 10, he is the good shepherd. He will go to the cross and die and pay the price for his sheep. In Hebrews 13, 20, he is the great shepherd. He cares for his sheep. In 1 Peter 5, 4, he is the chief shepherd. That means he is coming again to take his sheep home to be with him. In Revelation 7, we see this picture of the great tribulation and all these saints that come out of the tribulation. In Revelation 7:17, Jesus, talking about Jesus, for the Lamb who is at the center of the throne will shepherd them. He will guide them to springs of waters of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Look at how the shepherd is described. In Psalm 23, 1, he is the Lord. He is holy. He is God. And then in Revelation chapter 7, the Lamb, the shepherd, he is the shepherd, became a lamb voluntarily. The sacrificial lamb, the perfect sacrificial lamb to pay the price for our sins. He is on his throne. All right, Revelation 7, he's on his throne. Yet, he will shepherd his sheep. He is holy, yet he's the shepherd. He's the shepherd, yet he's the lamb. Blows your mind if you think too much about it. But understanding what David's trying to get us to understand here is that God, who is above all and over all and in control of all and has all power, that'd be one thing, right? God has the ability to do whatever he wants, and he does. He has the ability to hold the world in the palm of his hand, and he does. Yet this God who has all this ability, all this power, all this control, chooses to put himself in a position to be our shepherd, to care for us, to guide us, to guard us, to protect us. And he also became the lamb to die for us so that we can have that relationship with him as sheep and he being our shepherd. It's the beauty of Scripture, right? You put the Old Testament and the New Testament together. The story of salvation from beginning to end. The God who is able to be our shepherd because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and being raised from the dead 3 days later. The shepherd who sits on his throne and is the Lord became a lamb to die on the cross for you and me. Jesus is the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm. He is our personal shepherd. And David knows the number one thing that sheep need. It's not grass. They do need grass, but that's not the number one thing. It's not water. Not the number one thing. Not other sheep who can walk beside them and keep them company. Probably like that, but that's not the number one thing that they need. It's not shelter. It's not sunny days. It's not good health. All those things are important, but David says, and he's telling us, the number one thing that sheep need is a good shepherd. Because without a shepherd to guide them, guard them, protect them, to take care of them, none of those other things really matter. The number one thing that we need is a shepherd. I could go on and on about sheep. The Bible talks a lot about sheep. I could go on and on about sheep, but here's all you need to know about sheep. Sheep are dumb. And without a shepherd, they will get lost and get killed. Sheep, without a shepherd, they are totally dependent on their shepherd. They can't do anything without their shepherd. Not exactly a flattering way to be described in Scripture, but that's how we're described. So it just heightens the importance of knowing our shepherd. So let me ask you in your heart. Are you empty? Just being religious isn't working too well, is it? Going through the motions, trying to be good enough religious brownie points. You're trying, but you're empty. You need a shepherd to rescue you. What are the needs in your life today? What do you really need? Won't take you too long to think about that. Emotional, physical. What are the needs that you're facing in your life right now? You need a shepherd to provide for you. What is the one thing rolling around in your head that keeps you awake at night? What is it? Maybe it's several things. What is that thing that keeps you awake at night? A fear as you look to the future? A concern, a worry about work, about family, school. What's the one thing? You need a shepherd to guide you, to guard you. What's going on in your life right now? Seriously. You came here today, no telling the reason, but somewhere in your heart you came here today because you wanted to experience this shepherd that I'm talking about, that David is describing for us. And I guarantee you, some more than others, probably everybody in this room, there's something going on in your life right now. You don't know what to do about it. You don't know what the answer is. Could be a big thing, could be a small thing, but it's there. And it doesn't make sense. I don't know the answer. And I might be able to advise you and guide you scripturally and counsel you, but I don't have all the answers. But I know the shepherd that will guard you and guide you and protect you and provide for you. He has the answers. He'll give you the answers in his time. Some things you may never know the answer to, but he will comfort you and guide you like no other. You need a shepherd. I don't know the answer to all your needs, but I know you need a shepherd. We all need the good shepherd. And I pray that at the end of this series, if we desire Jesus more than anything, if we realize our constant, continuous dependence upon him, that's a win. If nothing else, if we come to a new understanding of how desperately we need our shepherd from day to day, that's a win in this series. So it's incredible that the shepherd is the Lord. The Lord is the shepherd. All of that, what that represents, is incredible. And this leads to our third truth. Everyone needs the shepherd that we just described. Everyone needs the shepherd as their savior. Everyone. Everybody needs the shepherd as their savior. The Lord is my shepherd. Look at those two little words. It changes everything. Not the Lord is a shepherd. That would be one thing. Not the Lord is the perfect shepherd. No, the Lord is my shepherd. Think about it this way. My family, most of them, where's Annie? I'm always calling you out, Annie. Okay, they're all here, all right? You just kind of have to funnel back, but they're all here, all right? You can look at this family and say, this is a family, right? Even if you know which family it is, you say, this is a family. I look at this family and say, this is my family. You see the difference between a and my? That word, my, that little two-letter word makes all the difference in the world. Not the Lord is a shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. There are only two religions. Let me tell you about world religions. You can study world religions, and there's tons of information on Psalm 23. There's tons of information on world religions. You could teach not a 7-week, you could teach a 12-week or more course on world religions alone. And I don't know everything there is to know about world religions, but here's what I know. There are two different types of world religions, doing and done. There's a world religion that in my head, I have a God that I am working to death to try to please, that I do things to make myself acceptable to God. It's all based on works. It's all based on what I am doing. But then there is the only true world religion that is my God, and his pleasure in me, his acceptance of me is not based on my head, what I'm thinking I need to do, and what goals and tasks that I'm doing. It's not based on what I am or have done. It's based on what he has done on the cross in dying for my sins and then being raised from the dead. Doing and done. Either I'm doing, trying to please a God, and I'm exhausted and I'm empty and I'm unsatisfied, or I'm depending and relying and resting on what my God, the God, has done for me in saving me from my sins. That's the difference between a shepherd or my shepherd. My shepherd. A personal, intimate, close relationship with God. That little word, mine, changes everything. And it's that relationship, it's all wrapped up in the word mine. You know, a lot of people know the 23rd Psalm, but what changes your life is knowing the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm. It's a familiar passage. Many people can quote it. We can see it everywhere. A lot of people know the 23rd Psalm, but do you really know the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm? That's what will change your life, knowing the shepherd. If you want to change your marriage, if you want to change your family, if you want your hopes and dreams for the future, not that they'll all come true, but that you'll find rest and security and guidance in those hopes and dreams for the future. If you want all of those things, if you want to change your eternal destiny, heaven or hell, if you want security in this life and beyond this life, you have to know the shepherd. This is five words. Are you following me? Five words. All of this wrapped up in five words. It's amazing that these words, these five words, deal with the greatest things, two of the greatest things on planet Earth, the greatest testimony in life. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the greatest testimony, period. The greatest question in life is the Lord your shepherd. Those are two of the greatest things in life. The greatest question, is the Lord your shepherd? Well, he can be. Is your testimony in life that the Lord is my shepherd? If not, it can be. The number one animal in all the Bible is sheep. I think God's trying to teach us something here, right? We see sheep everywhere. We need to understand as sheep, you and I, as sheep, how the Lord can be our shepherd. And it all begins with lost sheep. We understand very clearly what the Bible teaches about sheep. They're clueless, they're helpless, they're hopeless, and they're easily destroyed. Sheep don't defend themselves very well. They're easily destroyed. And people who are separated from a God who loves them because of their sin, the Bible is telling us, lost in sin, they are like lost sheep without a shepherd. They're helpless, hopeless, clueless, and easily destroyed by the enemy. Let me give you an example. Isaiah 53, verses 6 and 7. We all went astray like sheep, and we have, every one of us, no one's exempt. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have turned to our own way. We all have thought, my way is better than yours, Lord. And the Lord has punished him, not us, if we will accept him, Jesus. He has punished him for the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb, our shepherd became a lamb. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before her shearers, he did not open his mouth. Let me give you two truths. Three before I'm finished right here, but two to begin with. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep absolutely need a shepherd. They're lost, helpless, easily destroyed without one. You and I as sheep, let me give you another word for that. Sinners. We are sinners, and sinners need a Savior. Our shepherd is the Savior. Jesus alone is the Savior shepherd. Only Jesus can free you from your sin. We've talked about lost sheep. We need to talk about the love of the shepherd. A great picture in Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. A shepherd with 100 sheep loses one and he leaves the 99 to go get that one. He's not going to let that one get away. A picture of the love of our shepherd for us as sheep. It's all about seeking the lost. And then Jesus says this in Luke 15, verses 6 and 7. Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need repentance. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. In his love and pursuit of you and me, he wants to take what is lost, make it found, set it free, restore it to the way that we were supposed to be, like him. He sets us free from our sins. You have the love of the shepherd and you have the sacrifice of the shepherd. Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And that's exactly what he did for us. Verse 14, same passage. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. That word know really is the same word, has the same meaning as the word my. We are his. He knows us. He willingly lays down his life for us. He took on our sin so that we wouldn't have to die and be punished for our sins. He paid the price. The first word of Psalm 23 is thee. Jesus is the only shepherd, not just one of many, the only true shepherd, the only Savior. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father except by me. He is the only Savior shepherd. There is no other. The 23rd Psalm is, I believe, the second most well-known passage in all of the Bible, but it ties perfectly with the most well-known passage in all the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. How do we have everlasting life? We accept the Savior Shepherd as our Lord and Savior and the sacrifice that he made for our sins and believe in the fact that he is alive today, that he was raised from the dead. The greatest question in life is the Lord your personal shepherd? Does Jesus live inside of you? Does he control your life? Do you have a personal relationship with the Savior Shepherd? If you come to him, if you admit your sin to him, we've all fallen short. We've all made mistakes. We have all sinned. If you will admit your sin to him, if you will invite him into your life, believe in him as the Savior Shepherd, make him your Lord, your controller, your boss, the ruler of your life. If you will accept Jesus, then he can be your shepherd, your personal shepherd. ABC News had a story about a year and a half ago about a lost sheep named Fiona. It's a good name for a sheep, I guess. Fiona. The lost sheep. Apparently, Fiona was walking too close to the coastline and fell down 600 feet down the side of a cliff, off the side of a cliff, into a cave. Fiona was in that cave for 2 years. Nobody made the effort to get to her. In that cave for 2 years, there was enough grass and water around the cave for her to survive. She could go into the cave for shelter and to be safe from the weather. Smarter than most sheep, I guess. Fiona made it on her own for 2 years. But here's the thing. Here's the amazing thing. Here's a picture of Fiona before, as she's in the cave. Looks pretty rough, right? Well, Fiona, people in Scotland, in this little village that this happened in, they started a campaign to save Fiona. And a couple of shepherds got a rope and got a potato sack, lowered it down, I'm guessing with one of the shepherds, I don't know. Somehow they got Fiona into the potato sack, cut a hole out for her nose to stick through. They rescued Fiona. They got her up out of that cave, and here's a picture of her after her rescue. Looks a lot better, doesn't it? They rescued Fiona. They saved her, and she is okay, at least as of the writing of that story. I don't know about now. All right, maybe she fell in another cliff. You know, sheep or stubborn. I don't know. They'll start another campaign. They'll get her out. But hear me. Fiona's story is our spiritual story. We were destitute, lost, trapped in the cave of our sin. And Jesus lowered himself. He became man. Left heaven, became man. He came to where we are. And listen, folks, if you will just get into that potato sack, if you will accept the offer of rescue, if you don't know your shepherd, my shepherd, you can. And for not just he lowered himself, he was raised. He died on the cross and he was raised up on the cross, but then 3 days later he was raised from the dead and he is alive today and he's inviting you. If you know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, he's inviting you into a relationship to be your shepherd. If you know him and you've wondered, he is calling you back. And the next verse can be the testimony of your life. 1 Peter 2:25, for you were like sheep going astray, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The one word we haven't talked about is the word is. We're going to look at them all five. The Lord is my shepherd. When David's describing his shepherd, he's not talking about all of the things that the shepherd did in the past, and he did a lot, right? Creating, providing in the nation of Israel, all the miracles, all the provisions, all the victories that David had experienced as a king, as a warrior. He's an old guy now. This is in his past. There's a lot in his past he could talk about the shepherd having done. He's not talking about all that the shepherd will do in the future, and he will. He's faithful. He will be faithful in the future, and the Bible tells us a lot about what he's going to do in the future. No, he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. As a shepherd that's now a sheep, he's saying, let me tell you who my shepherd is. He is my shepherd. He is. He has been. He will be. But right now, every day, all the time, constantly, faithfully, he is my carer. He is my provider. He is my protector. He is everything that I need. With him, I need nothing. He is, in the present tense, every day, all the time, my shepherd. If you are truly saved in Jesus, you know it, and you know you can never lose that salvation because he is my shepherd, and he has promised us. Jesus promised, John 10, 27, 28, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. If you are truly, and I mean truly, not just pretending, truly a follower of Jesus, you know him. I give them eternal life, he says, and they will never perish. No one will ever snatch them out of my hands. I believe those who are truly saved, I believe the Bible teaches, it's not that they're perfect. We make mistakes, but those who are truly saved have a continuous, ongoing relationship with their shepherd to where over the course of their life, they are consistently growing and trusting him more and more and more. Yes, we wander. Sheep wander. And that happens. But overall, continuously, we know our shepherd and he knows us. If Jesus is your Savior, let me ask you a question. Are you letting him be your shepherd? If you're lost, I've told you what you need to do to become his sheep. But if you're already his sheep, are you allowing him to be your shepherd? Our shepherd will never leave us, but boy, we sure do stray from him from time to time, don't we? If I start worrying, I'm straying. We'll talk about that next week. If I don't trust him, I'm straying. Sometimes straying looks like I've been out of church for 4 years. Sometimes straying looks like I do enough Jesus to look like I'm following him, but in the rest of my life, I am my shepherd. I do things my way, not his. People magazine did another story about a sheep, a lost sheep in Australia. Same thing, this sheep was lost for 2 years. I don't know what it is about sheep in 2 years, but this one was just straight away. From his shepherd, good shepherd, cared for his sheep, maybe not shepherd of the year, I don't know, maybe he had been, but he was a good shepherd, cared for his sheep, but this sheep just strayed away. And believe it or not, this sheep missing for 2 years, the story in People magazine, they were floored to eventually, they never stopped looking for this sheep. Eventually, 2 years later, they found the sheep living in Sugarloaf Animal Reserve. And here's what the article said, don't miss this. Quote, this sheep, quote, living with a mob of kangaroos. Kangaroos are mean, all right? Great picture for us. If you have wandered from your shepherd, you're living amongst a mob of kangaroos. That's your condition right now. But thankfully, the shepherd, he'll never stop pursuing you. If you'll just turn back to him, confess your sin, confess your need for him, he will continue to provide and protect and care for you. We begin to wonder. In Psalm 119, 176, I wonder like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commands. Saved sheep stray from their shepherd. But look at that word seek. Think about that word, seek. Our shepherd will never leave us. He never forgets us. He seeks us. And beyond my ability to understand, he wants us. Maybe you feel like nobody in your life wants you right now. Let me tell you, my shepherd wants you. He forgives. We can come back home. We can confess our sins, we can start following him, and we can love him more than anything else. We can know him better than we ever have before, and we can pursue and experience the life that he desires for us. Won't be always easy. There will be ups and downs, trials and tribulations. David could tell you all about that, but there will be contentment and satisfaction and purpose and a future with your shepherd, my shepherd. Three things to close. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. Is he yours? He is the perfect shepherd. I'm not the perfect shepherd. Nobody in your life is the perfect shepherd. He's the perfect shepherd. My shepherd's name is Jesus. Will you accept him? If you know him and you've wondered, will you return to him? Let's pray. God, we thank you.